Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
You know, the funny thing is that this was used yesterday to insult us.
Right.
And I was honored.
Right.
I was exceptionally honored.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This is like Americana. This is like one of the all-time greats.
We're Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
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 You're right.
And your problem is what? Yeah, we're fine. We're on our own island. That's
right.
What the drive was getting on us for our Ultimate Dudes, two-dude fantasy draft that we did yesterday.
Right.
Two Ultimate Dudes, and they were like, you can't come up with just two. Every NFL team signs multiple free agents. You got to make more than two picks.
I know, which is
two dudes,
which is ridiculous when you think about the fact that D-Mac was saying they all get at least six free agents. How many free agents did we put up there? It's a snake draft. There's eight guys.
Yeah.
There's eight guys up there.
But since you picked two, I picked two, DeHuff picked two, Ben picked two, it's that you and I only picked two, you know, whereas everybody else has picked five.
Right. Well, because, I mean, that's their thing. They've got 37 free agents up there for the Broncos to take.
Right.
You can't have 37 free agents.
Should you be surprised?
Stupid.
That D-Mac, the guy who, when asked to pick a quarterback that he wanted to take a couple years ago, was like, I can't give you one,
right,
but surprise me, dealer's choice. Give me one of five.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyone.
Right? So, I understand their strategy. It's the blanket strategy,
mm-hmm,
right? You know, let's just throw out enough names, and if they pick one or two, we can go, aha! You know, whereas you and
right,
I, you know, we're more particular.
You know,
like that, we call
right,
our shots.
You know how I officially got my nickname?
Stank?
Yeah, Stank. My official, how I officially got it was actually, originally it was Stinkhead.
Yeah, from the fish, right? Up
right,
in Alaska?
Right. So my sister taught at an Eskimo village on the, called Akiachuk, Alaska, on the Kuskokwim River. And the first run of salmon, they would dip net, right? Pull out thousands of salmon. They clean the salmon. They cut off the heads. They would dig a big pit and bury the heads in the dirt and then dig them up later after they fermented for weeks and eat them rotten and fermented. They called them stink heads. That's how I originally got my nickname, Stink.
Okay.
From stink heads.
I want to get back to the conversation here, but hold on. Why? Who thinks that's a good idea to eat?
Well, it's a
2 week old fermented rotted stink heads.
Ooh. I mean,
who came up with it?
I don't know. Probably some back in the day, it was the leader of the tribe, right? I mean, I don't know how they came up with it. It's tradition. It's what
they
do.
I get it.
So
I
that's how I got the
how
nickname.
Everything like
but
that
let me
starts.
Get, let me, so the reason I told you that, Mike, is because they've got a dip net strategy.
Okay.
They're a dip net.
I got it.
If you put 2,000 names on a board, you're gonna be right.
Yep.
Right. If you put like their strategy is essentially every free agent that's available, let's get them on a huge board that we've created.
Good point.
In the Hobby Lobby, unofficial Hobby Lobby studios.
Yeah.
Right. If every name's on there, we're gonna be right at some point.
The dip nets.
It's the dip net strategy where we said, you get two guys, it's literally like a show, an Oprah show. You get two guys, you get two guys, you get two guys, you get two guys. Boom.
Right.
You're done. You got eight guys.
Right.
There's eight free agents up there.
That's it.
We're not every free agent. I mean, if you put every free agent on your board, eventually somebody's going to be right. You're all going to be like, I got two guys. Well, I got two guys. Yeah. Cause you picked nine apiece. Of course.
The dip nets. That's what we're calling them now.
Right.
The dip nets. The boys in the afternoon, the dip nets.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm going to just call, a D-Mac is going to be my Herbie Nyakpuk, the Shish Marauder.
What?
Herbie Nyakpuk, that's what I'm going to call him. Good old Herbie.
Who's Herbie Nyakpuk?
The Shish Marauder? One of the great mushers of all time? One of the great sled dog racers of all time? Don't tell me you've never...
What's going on?
He's in the Alaska Hall of Fame. Would you rather me call him Susan Butcher? Is that better for you?
That's who I recognize, yeah.
Okay.
Before Susan Butcher, there was Herbie...
Nyakpuk.
Nyakpuk.
The Shish Maref Marauder. Rick Swenson?
The Shish Maref Marauder?
Yeah, he was from Shish Maref.
I gotta go to Alaska.
Right.
I just gotta go. I gotta see what this place is all about.
There's Rick Swenson?
I gotta.
I could go Rick Swenson.
I gotta see if the...
Herbie Nyakpuk.
If the reality meets the hype, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it does. It does.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, we could call him Susan Butcher, if that's what you want to do.
No, I'd rather go with Herbie Nyakpuk.
All Alaskan Hall of Famers. But, you know, he's got the dip net strategy going
on
there.
Yeah, clearly these guys are all about the dip nets.
He dip net strategy the quarterbacks. Hey, just catch one of them. Just put your net in there. Whichever one gets their gills cut in it, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or, you know, or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, any one of them will do. Just get your net out there and get one.
Now, look, the reason we went by our...
Fish?
The reason we did it by ourselves is because we are the Wolf Pack, because the Wolf Pack does not concern themselves with the opinions of sheep.
Right.
But they attempted to insult us with Gilligan's Island. As soon as I heard that, I was like, I'm honored.
Right.
Gilligan's Island was fantastic. Were you a ginger or... Okay, this is literally one of the great debates in all of human mankind.
Yeah.
Ginger or Marianne?
Oh, Marianne, no question.
Yeah.
Wholesome.
Wholesome, yeah. But ginger. A lot of ginger fans out there.
Well.
But I'm with you.
Yeah.
And they said the Huff was Thurston Howell.
I'll take that.
Yeah. You ever done any Thurston Howell?
I don't even remember what he sounds like.
All it would take is you to listen to him for 5 seconds, and you'd be able to nail it.
He's loving.
Loving.
I say.
Yeah.
Is that a coconut?
So stupid.
I say, is that a little man? Oh, look at that. It's D-Mac. How adorable. He's pretending to be a real boy.
That's a horrible. That's
it doesn't matter.
I want to be a real boy.
Oh, D-Mac tweeting me said, I would love to be called Susan Butcher, Iditarod Dominator.
He Googled that.
Rather go with Herbie Nyakpuk.
Yes, the Shish Maref Marauder.
Shish Maref Marauder. I like that. Okay, yeah. Very good. Okay, Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. And with the Rockies ready to kick off spring training games this weekend, are you starting to build a little bit of hope? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
All right, it is an Is It Just Me Friday. Very simple, the concept. You know it by now. Just give us those hot sports opinions. Get them off your chest heading off into the weekend. We do not want any burdens. So it can be about all the local teams, world of sports and beyond. And away you go on the ronaldsaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. How about this one? Is it just me or forget about Ginger or Marianne? It was Mrs. Howell who had it going on. Lovey.
Oh, yeah.
A great wardrobe.
Terrific wardrobe.
I mean, considering that they were on that little tiny boat, like, What are the howls these millionaires doing on that little tiny SS Minnow?
Good point.
It was always a question I had. Like, why would you get, why are you guys not on a yacht?
Good point.
But anyhow,
I think it's amazing that you've actually taken time over the years to think through Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
And expose some of the plot holes.
Yeah. There were several of them in there, but bottom line is, it was a great show. And I'm, like you said, I'm honored to be on Gilligan's Island.
I am too. Thank you, Dipnets.
Yes.
That's what we're now calling the afternoon show. Right,
the Dipnets.
The Dipnets. Just, that's their theory. Just dip it in and just.
Let's get as many, throw as many out there and eventually one will hit.
That's
and then,
right.
Then you act like, oh, look at me.
Jake in Castle Rock, is it just me or the Rockies going to have 10 more losses this year because of everything going on? Well, they lost, what, 91 last year?
Yes, they did.
So you're saying they're going to flirt with 100?
No.
Well,
what do you think? Overall, okay, I know Montford said 94 wins.
94 wins.
Yeah, 94 wins. What do you think? What would you put the over-under on Rockies wins this season? Where would you put that at?
I just see too many issues with the pitching staff. I would have to say 70, maybe 78.
Yeah, I'm in the 70s. I think they'll win somewhere between 71 and 78 games. Somewhere in there.
They won 71 last year. So I'm actually going to give a little credence
to the bounce back theory.
To the bounce back theory, the Jeff Breidish bounce back theory, that everybody who underachieved last year will miraculously go back to the levels that they were at prior to that.
Yeah.
And that everybody who had a down year will have an up year and they'll win 90 plus games.
Right. No. What about all the guys that had up years that will have that? What about that? That's like when you say, hey, we should have won, you know, we should have won Jacksonville game and we should have won Chicago had it not been for that turnover and we should have won this and we should have won that. But you never look at the games like, you don't look at the Raiders game that you should have lost on a 2-point conversion.
Right.
You don't look at those
things.
Nobody
brings that up.
Nobody brings that up. Like, all right, so you have a couple of guys that have bounce back years. What about a couple of guys that actually pitched pretty well that have fallback years? Doesn't that happen too?
Did anybody pitch well last year? Really? Did anybody?
Armand Marquez pitched pretty well.
Yeah, he was okay, but he was still down from the year before. John Gray had a good year. 11-8. Yes. He had, actually for him, he had a good year.
What was his ERA?
3.84.
It's a really good,
that's,
I mean,
a good year.
It's a really good year. So you think he's gonna continue to climb, or because I think John Gray's got great stuff. Like, he's got a power fastball, he's got all those things, but you know, I don't think he consistently can throw his off speed breaking stuff for strikes, and it's consistently good enough. And I think he doesn't hide his fastball well. I think guys see his fastball. I've never seen a guy throw 98, 97 miles an hour with more consistency who gets squared up more often. So obviously hitters don't have a problem seeing it. And because he can't keep them off with his off speed stuff enough, he can't keep them honest with that stuff enough that, you know, do I think he's going to go 11-8 with a 3.8? No. I think he would fall back. He would be in my fallback category.
Is Trevor Story going to fall back?
I don't think.
294, 35 home runs?
No, I don't think Trevor Story will fall.
I don't think so either.
Trevor Story has gotten consistently better in the strike zone. Like, there were so many times early in his career where he was always, like, he's always in a 0-2 hole, you know? A 1-2 hole. And so then you get into the protection mode and like where he has consistently gotten better from walks and everything else, or from drawing walks, excuse me, not striking out as much, putting the ball in play, more contact. I think Trevor Story is on the upward trajectory.
When it comes to the Rockies, for me, it's simple. They'll hit. I don't worry about them. They'll hit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll score runs. No worries there. It just comes down to pitching. And if you can tell me right now that Germán Márquez, Kyle Freeland, John Gray can combine for 45 wins, then I think 90 wins in a wild card spot are absolutely in play. Absolutely. But anything short of that, uh-uh.
So 15 wins apiece?
Average, 15 wins apiece.
When have the Rockies ever had a season where they had three guys with 15-plus wins?
Okay, so 2018? Yeah, 2018
mm-hmm.
was their was when all the young pitching really kind of showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That year,
Freeland had 17 wins.
That year, Freeland had 17. Márquez had 14. And Gray had 12. That's 43. So
you got to count on that kind of
yes,
production
yes.
from those three guys.
Yes. And they did it 2 years ago. Hey, look, that's what Jeff Breidich is counting on.
Mm-hmm.
What I just laid out right there is the Breidich bounce back theory.
Right.
That's what we're now calling it. The Breidich bounce back theory.
Okay. So, the one thing you have to understand is
the BBT.
Right. In the year that Freeland won 17, there was no real thick book on Kyle Freeland.
I get you. And then the league adjusted and he
league
just couldn't
justice.
Handle it. Now he's got to counter-adjust. Welcome to the bigs, kid. What you got?
The old counter-adjust.
The old counter-adjust. Tell me you used
you just
that.
Don't counter.
Use that on the mat.
The
back when you were an Alaska high school state champion. Talk a lot of wrestling today because
right.
the high school wrestling championships are going on at the Pepsi Center this week.
Right.
Good luck to all the grapplers.
I know. It's great. No, I didn't. I didn't use a lot of counter adjust. Wasn't a great wrestler. I'm just giving you that.
You're in the high school hall of fame in Alaska. You won a state championship. You went like 34-1 your senior year.
Yeah. There was that one though. Really?
You know who it was?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Remember the name?
Yes, I do. What was that guy's name?
Huh?
No, I don't remember his name, but I know he was from Chugiak High School.
Chugiak?
Chugiak. Son, I hate that.
Man.
The Chugiak Mustangs. I tell you one of the great things.
And you went to Service?
Service, yeah.
So when Service and Chugiak got together,
well, you know what
throw
we
out the records?
No, what we would do.
Their bad blood between Service and Chugiak?
We'd whip them. But one of the things we would do was, there's nothing like this either. This is one of the coolest things ever. When you wrestle under the light.
A light?
Yes. So you lower a light. It's like a huge flashlight, you know, with the cone. It's like the cone of silence. And they lower it right over the mat. And so it just, you know, the big circle?
Yeah.
It just illuminates the big circle.
Everything else is dark.
And then you shut off all the lights.
Ooh.
And we would put, you know, I don't know how many our gym would hold. It would be like thousands of people to come to a Service Chugiak match under the lights and open a can of whoop ass Chugiak Mustangs. Yeah.
That sounds cool. I gotta go to Alaska. I gotta experience this. I gotta see.
I broke a dude's leg wrestling.
Did you
broke
really?
His ankle. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, snapped it. It was awesome. Screaming like a fish flopping around on the mat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just standing over him going, if he dies, he dies.
I was just like, I must break you.
He dies. You want me to do Chun-Li.
You gotta do Chun-Li from Bloodsport. Come on.
Now I break you like I broke your friend.
I love that.
Boom! Frank Dukes.
All right. Four Down Territory coming up next. Why J.J. Watt is saying, heck no! Next.
I want Mason Royal.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass!
I want to kiss you.
Thank
Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First Down.
In each of those discussions has been open dialogue. It's been thoughtful. I think we've addressed difficult issues that face our league going forward and looking forward. And I think both the players and management and everyone in the negotiation have worked to try to find creative solutions to make the NFL better.
Yeah, of course, Roger Goodell and the owners love this
new proposal.
Proposal that they immediately ratified yesterday. Now it's up to the players, and, well, let's just say the immediate reaction, not that good. J.J. Watt on Twitter saying hard no on that proposed CBA. There's a few issues that jump out, but here's one of the biggest ones. So they're talking about a 17-game season. For those players who are under 16-game contracts right now,
right,
if they were to play all 16 games, that 17th game, they would be capped at how much money they could make in that final game, $250,000. Now, a lot of money to you and me, but for a player like Jared Goff, who under the numbers of his contract would make about $1.8 million per game, he'd make $1.8 million for all 16 games, and then for that 17th game, he'd make $250,000.
Right. Seems equitable.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair, does it?
We got a deal? Let's shake on it.
Yeah.
Looks good to me.
Would it just make sense to say, okay, if you're making X amount per game, right? This is what your per game, all right, your per game, whatever it is. Let's call it $600,000 per game. For that 17th game that we're asking you to play, here's your $600,000. I mean, that seems to me to make the most sense. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to pay everybody. They're going to pay everybody exactly what they make for that week 17, unless you make more than $250,000 a game, which is the majority of guys. Then we're going to cap it.
Let me see if I get this straight. They want to pay the players less than they would normally make for that 17th game.
Right.
But something tells me they're not going to charge the TV networks less for that 17th game. Something also tells me they're not going to charge the networks less for that extra playoff game, extra two playoff games that will now be played.
Yeah.
The players are already
taking huge pay cuts to play in the playoffs.
Hey, I side with you guys. You guys are getting kind of a raw deal here, but I also know you'll roll over like sheep.
Does sheep roll over?
Yeah, probably. Next in four down territory.
Second down. That's a goal for us every week. You know, come in, wear down a team. You know, when we those runs in the fourth, in the first quarter and second quarter that are maybe four or five or two or three, we want those to start becoming eight and nine like they have been in the fourth, and that's really coming down and wearing teams down.
That is Jack Conklin. Do not let Jack Conklin sign with the Broncos, folks. You think Mark Schlereth is insufferable now. So yesterday, after we did our two dudes free agent draft, and you picked Jack Conklin, the dip nets in the afternoon.
Yeah.
We're like, Jack Conklin? Why are you going to go after Jack Conklin? You already spent all that money on Juwan James. You got to spend your money somewhere else. Well, NFL.com put together their ultimate free agent fit for each team in the NFL, and lo and behold, they picked Jack Conklin.
Oh, weird. That's strange. Gotta have options. Everybody sees it. People who really follow this league, I mean really follow this league, and I'm talking about the league, not just the Broncos, and don't have the orange-colored glasses on, they see the lack. The organizational lack of dominating the trenches. They see it as well as I see it. And they know that regardless of who your quarterback is, if you can't fix that, if you can't solve that conundrum, your quarterback's not going to have any success.
Listen, I get what you're saying, but I know there's ego involved over there. There's pride involved over there, and they're not going to follow up signing Juwan James last year on top of continuing to ride with Garrett Bowles and admit their mistake, which is what they'd be doing, if they went all in on Jack Conklin, who's going to come at a high price
yeah.
if he does make it out onto the market.
Yeah, I mean, if Nate Solder's making 15 a year, he's going to get like a 14.6.
At least 14.6.
Yeah.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. Along the 30-yard line, and Tua is not getting up. Tua's helmet is off, and he is not getting up. He is down on all fours. His helmet is being retrieved by Alex Leatherwood. The trainer setting the world land record, running across the field in blazing speed.
Bama. Bama radio right there. Tua Tagovailoa giving an update on his health. Says he's doing great. He also says that it is his dream to play for the Cowboys. Where does Tua, in your mind, end up?
I don't think he slips past five to Miami. Now I know they have one of the Hall of Fame five on their roster right now. Josh Rosen.
You can never have enough future Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Right. So you put two Hall of Famers on one roster?
Oof. You think the Lions going to trade Matt Stafford?
No. You think they're going to trade Matthew Stafford?
I don't think they should. That's not my question. You think they will?
No. What do they got? I mean, what do they have to replace?
That's what I'm saying. Well, maybe right there is where you see Tua go. Look, if you're a Detroit Lion fan, first of all, my condolences. Secondly, you've been living with Matthew Stafford for what, 8-9 years now? I mean, been there, done that. I would think that if I'm the management of Detroit, I got nothing to lose. I think I'd be more interested in trying to trade Stafford, get whatever okay. I can get, right. a pretty good haul for him, and then draft an exciting prospect like Tua.
All right, so here's what
get my fan base energized.
Here's what I would say to you is if you make that move, to me, that's not about winning. If you make that move, that's about saving your job if you're Dan Quinn, the general manager, or Bob Quinn. You're basically saying, hey, look, you know, it hasn't worked, and now we're going to change the culture, and we're going to go with a young quarterback, and that'll buy me some time.
Are you telling me that there are sports franchises out there run by people who are just trying to save their jobs and are only worried about the bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Gene Dr. Breidich.
He is that. Hey, he can't come to the phone right now. He's busy. He's busy doing a frontal lobotomy.
That's right. Brain surgery.
Yeah.
Literal brain surgery. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. Fires it off to Jordan Reed. Oh. Stretches his arm across the goal line. And it's a Redskins touchdown. What a play by Jordan Reed. Caught it at the two and reached across the plane for a Redskins touchdown.
Yeah, baby.
Redskins radio right there. You know, I've never, you know, had a rooting never had a rooting interest in the Redskins or anything, but I've always from afar felt bad for Jordan Reed, who was cut by the Redskins, because to me, somebody who should have been a really, I mean, he was a good player,
He's a Pro Bowl player,
but
yeah.
I think he had a chance to be, you know, a Hall of Fame type player. But boy, that guy just killed by injuries. But he says he's healthy. He says he still has a lot of football left in him. You, yesterday, you talked about, actually it wasn't you, it was Ben. Millennial Ben came up with Austin Hooper as a possibility for two dudes' free agent fantasy list for the Broncos. And you endorsed the idea of Austin Hooper, that they could easily use another tight end, especially a veteran tight end, besides Noah Fant. We talked about Jason Witten earlier in the week. What about kicking the tires on Jordan Reed?
Don't they have enough injury prone tight ends on their roster? I mean, aren't they littered with guys that can't stay healthy at that position?
That is true.
I would, you know, Austin Hooper, Jordan Reed. I'd rather have Mr. Hooper than Jordan Reed. Is he still alive, Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street? Remember him? He's old back then when I was a kid.
Yeah, he can't be around.
No, he can't be. But Mr. Hooper could keep that. I mean, he would sweep the corners in the local store there.
Yeah,
Mr. Hooper would.
Yeah.
No,
Ben,
come on. Talking about Mr. Hooper.
Mr. Hooper, come on.
Come on. There's a lot of people driving around.
Sorry.
They grew up with Mr. Hooper just because you don't know who Mr. Hooper is.
And this is why people hate millennials.
Yeah.
Just like that, right there. That encapsulates everything, right there. You take somebody who is a cherished part of our childhood, and you just diminished him.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who he is. Why don't you go do a little research this week?
Like, I really don't care.
On Mr. Hooper, and then report back to us on Monday. All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, does anybody want the CU football job? Troy Rank has been covering it extensively. The latest from him next. Troy Rank says to join us here in just a little bit. Get the latest on the CU coaching search. Meanwhile, the basketball team continues to roll along with Tad Boyle and crew beating USC. Good USC team. Hard-fought game, good basketball game last night. They won 70-66. Is it just me? This being an Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me? I get that with all of the turmoil surrounding the football program that there's a almost a newfound appreciation for Tad Boyle, who's been there for a long time. He's done it the right way, built a solid program, done it the right way. But to me, at some point, you got to start to deliver in the tournament. He's made four tournament appearances.
Right. Wow.
He's got one tournament win. And to me, this isn't just simply, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to be in the tournament. To me now, I'm not saying that they've become like Kansas, where you expect the Jayhawks to go to the Final Four every year. But my expectation with this team, I've watched this team play a lot. They're a good, good team. To me, it's Sweet 16 or bust. There should be a Sweet 16 team.
Hey, listen, man, that would be awesome if they could get to a Sweet 16. I don't know that anybody expects it, but if maybe they expect it, you expect it.
I do expect it. I think they're that good.
Okay, well, good. Then that would be great.
Speaking of the CU coaching search, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rank has been all over it, covering it. He joins us now, presented by Tranny Law. All right, Troy, where are we at? Does anybody want the CU football job?
Yeah, yesterday stung, as I just tweeted out earlier. They thought they had Steve Sarkisian, and they were to the point where they, from my sources, they were prepared that they would land him and there'd be a press conference today. That's how far along it was. And he went back to Alabama and got a huge raise. You know, I don't say he got more than he would have been the head coach at CU, given the numbers I've heard, but he got a huge raise. Maybe he just feels like he needs time, a couple more years out of the spotlight. Given how it unfolded at USC with his battle with alcoholism, none of that's come out yet, but maybe he just felt like the time wasn't right to be a head coach again. But that hurt. With Calhoun has been in that mix, Bielema, but my sources last night told me they're just going to hit the reset button. Rick George is going to be at the basketball events this weekend for seniors, for the senior nights for the teams, and then get back on the interview trail. Doesn't mean they won't be having conversations during this time, but they would then resume interviews on Monday. But Bieniemy's not in that mix. As I reported Wednesday, he wasn't the finalist. But they had narrowed it down to Sarkisian and Calhoun. I don't know exactly where the Calhoun thing is, but you can read the tea leaves that if he were the guy, they wouldn't be going back out on the interview trail on Monday. So it's in some ways a reset. And that's why I argued weeks ago when this thing started happening, maybe, and again, this isn't ideal, but maybe you consider Chiaverini just being the head coach this year and you reassess at the end of the year. I mean, that's not ideal, but finding the head coach in February, frankly, is not ideal. I think you got to consider all things. Now, Chiaverini is going to stay regardless of the new coach, but I just think at some point, don't hire someone to hire someone. And they're getting into that territory for me now.
Let me ask you about Brett Bielema, because he's had a ton of success when he was at Wisconsin. Obviously, the Arkansas stuff didn't work as well in the SEC, but I have argued here, if you're going to CU to coach, you're not going to out-talent people and spread offenses. You're just not. You're not going to out-talent UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington. You're just not. So why not condense? Why not get big? Why not go NFL style, what Brett Bielema did when he was at Wisconsin? Why isn't that something that the CU, why isn't he like a number one target?
Well, it ended horribly in Arkansas. I mean, there was a lot of weird stuff at the end of his reign there. In Wisconsin, you're right. Like, if you're talking about Brett Bielema from Wisconsin, very attractive candidate. The way it went down in Arkansas, where he's winless in conferences last year, it was ugly. And so that's part of it. He's never really recruited the West Coast at all. He's been a Midwest guy for the, you know, bulk of his career, the East Midwest guy. That would be part of it. So, you know, I haven't heard any real reasons why not him, other than the recruiting issue is certainly part of it. You know, trying to keep this recruiting class as part of it too, Mark, keep that class together, you know, and trying to find a coach that can keep this class from scattering is part of it. I mean, that's why I'm saying in February, this is not a great time to be looking. But to your point, Mark, that was one of the things Tucker was trying to establish was, I know in talking to him last year at this time, he wanted to be Utah, where you felt the pain a couple of days after you played them. They're a physical team. That was their identity. Tougher, bigger guys, you know, regardless if they ran spread or not. But that was his plan. And so it kind of links to what you're saying is that, for me, being CU's identity makes sense that we're not going to try to out-athlete you at every skill position because you're not going to typically win that on the recruiting trail consistently. But being a team that you play and go, dang, man, it's Wednesday and I still feel sore. And that's what he was trying to establish.
Busy with Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. You mentioned Sarkisian getting a bump. What is the rumored amount of money that Sarkisian's making? Because the amount of money that other programs are able to pay their assistants, combined with all the hoops that CU needs to jump through to be able to not only pay their assistants, but give their assistants a small raise, how much is that killing CU when it comes to attracting really attractive candidates?
Yeah, I mean, it hurts. There's no way around that. And the assistant coaching pool has been an issue for a number of years, not just within this search. Here's what I do know from sources that within this search, they're looking to, you know, give a significant bump to the assistant coaching pool to try to create stability within the staff, giving those guys more money. You know, the offer that I've heard for the head coach is competitive. You know, it's way more than Tucker was making, that they're willing to extend themselves on getting a new coach by giving this new coach way more than what Tucker was drawing. And he was drawing, I think, in that, you know, on a 2.4, 2.5 base range. So, you know, that's the thing. Sarkisian can make that and more as an assistant at Alabama. I mean, there's really no limit to what they can do at a school like that. That's what's crazy is the SEC is just on a different plane. If they decide they want to keep someone, money is frankly no object. In schools like CU, it is an object. But I know the offer is, they're not trying to do this on the cheap. They're trying to get a coach with real money and increase the assistant coaching pool. The problem is, it's not a great time to be looking for a coach. I mean, there's just no way around that. That's where this thing really messes them up, because Rick George, to me, has done a fantastic job as the AD there, and they are moving in the right direction. But trying to find a head coach in February, closing in on March, oof, the timing's not great.
All right, well, the NFL scouting combine right around the corner, and you talk about direction. What is the direction the Broncos are going to take when it comes to drafting this year with the 12 picks that they have?
It just, you know, again, this thing is subject to change because free agency hits first. But the draft, for me, and talking to people, sets up for them to more build their offense through the draft. You can go out and get specific guys defensively, whether it's Byron Jones defensively, Corey Littleton. Like, you can kind of add and enhance your defense through free agency. I do think they'll make from what I'm told, make a run at a guy like Amari Cooper if he's available, depending on how the CBA comes down and he's not tagged. But look at the offense, whether that's receiving depth, whether that's offensive line. The issue with the line is if you take one in the first round, is that guy going to play this year? They are desperate to get back to the playoffs this season. Whether they should think that way, that's an argument for another day. So if you're going to go tackle, Mark, you got to look at a guy like Wirfs, who could play guard and start right away, because you really don't want to take a tackle in the first round. Again, if you're trying to win next year, who doesn't play or starts three games? They're not really in that position to make that decision based on their thinking. But I think offense, think receiver, think playmakers, even if it means tackle first round and receiver second or receiver first round, and then you look to pick up a lineman in the second. But offense is where right now they seem to be leaning in the draft. But everything can change because free agency hits first.
All right, Troy, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Yep, zip.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, presented by Tranny Law. Let me jump right into that. Is it just me? Is it just me Friday? Is it just me? I want nothing to do with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was an up-and-down, inconsistent Raider, and he continued that with the Cowboys. You look at Amari Cooper this past season. 79 catches for 1,200 yards. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. He had one game with 11 catches for 226. He had another with 11 catches for 147. But coming down the stretch, when Dallas was trying to make a push for the playoffs, and Jerry was getting upset every week, you know, and Jason Garrett ended up getting fired. Mm-hmm. Here's what Amari Cooper did over the final, three, six, seven games of the season. Here's what he did. 3 catches for 38 yards in a loss to Detroit. A win over Detroit. 3 catches for 38. 0 catches for 0 yards. Got stuffed by Stephon Gilmore at New England. 8 catches for 85 yards against Buffalo. 6 catches for 83 yards in a loss to Chicago. 1 catch for 19 yards in a win over the Rams. 4 catches for 24 yards in a loss to Philadelphia. And 4 catches for 92 yards in the final week against Washington, but at that point, Dallas had lost the ability to control their own fate. And during that stretch that I'm talking about, he had 1 touchdown catch. This is a guy who's been an inconsistent, up-and-down player all year. And the other thing, too, is if you sign a guy like Amari Cooper, he's coming in thinking he's the guy. You're paying him to be the guy.
Right.
He's thinking he's the guy. What does that mean for Cortland Sutton?
The alarm for me there. Now, some people will tell you, well, it's Dak Prescott and his inconsistencies. And that may be true. But Amari has been inconsistent in both Oakland and in Dallas. You've got a beastly offensive line. You've got a running game. You've got other weapons. Like you should, if you're having those games where you don't have any catches, you should have 300 yards rushing in those games. Like I don't know that there's enough complementary nature to his game. And I don't know if there's enough, honestly, Mike, I think he's probably a really good route runner. I don't know that there's enough explosiveness. Like I don't know that anybody's truly nervous about Amari Cooper running by him. Like when you play Julio Jones or AJ Green, or you play the truly elite receivers in this league, man, you are worried about their route running ability, their, you know, catch radius. You're worried about their physicality off the line of scrimmage. You're worried about how they eat up cushion, get on your toes, and create route separation underneath, and then you're flat out worried about it. And if I'm playing them tight because they're killing me and eating up cushion and creating things underneath, they'll run right by me. I just don't think he's got that full array of skill set, athletic skill set, to make him truly a big time number one.
I'm glad you said that because I was getting Rip, no, that is just you, Evans. He would open up so much.
Portland. I don't necessarily agree with that. If I'm thinking about the top, like the elite receivers in this league, Amari Cooper is not one of the guys that comes first to my mind. Yeah, I don't even know that I'd put him in the top 10 when I'm thinking about elite.
Right.
Just elite players.
Right.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.